So we want to continue this week with the stewardship series, and we want to pray for folk this morning as well. Will that be good? Great. So if you've got your Bibles, won't you turn to Luke chapter 16, please? And we're going to read the parable of the bad manager, or the dishonest manager. And I've called it a bad man's good example. Okay? Jesus told this parable. We're going to pick it up this morning and trust that God's going to speak to all of us. And so it says in Luke chapter 16, and Jesus said to his disciples, so it was a message for his disciples. It's really a message for us this morning. He says, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be my manager. So he's getting fired. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do? Since the master is taking my job away from me, I'm not strong enough to dig. Maybe he's getting old. And I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I'm removed from management, people will receive me into their houses. And so summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. So he gave them, this must have been Black Friday, he gave them big discount on all the stuff they owed. And then he said to another, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, take your bill and write 80. And the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world, Jesus said this, the sons of this world, the people out there, are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light, than we are. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a little will be faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a little will be dishonest in much. If then you've been unfaithful with the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you true riches? And if you've not been faithful with that which is another's, who will give you which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Amen. And so this morning, what we want to do as we come to God's word is we want to try to be coming to the end of the stewardship series, which has been a great mini series. Masal has served us so well. And next week we'll probably continue and conclude. But this morning we want to bring some application. And as Masal was preaching through this, the Lord spoke to me from Luke chapter 16. And I really trust this morning will also be a prophetic motivation to us all. Because God has given us all gifts and talents and resources to serve His purposes in our generation. Can you say amen? Just turn to the person next to you and say to them, God has given you gifts and resources. Won't you tell them that? Amen. And we've all been given stuff to steward and to look after and to manage for the kingdom of God. And so this morning we want to ask ourselves the question, how do I apply what God has given me? And so this passage is mainly talking about the wise use of money. Just turn me down a little bit. But I'd like to broaden it to talk about all our gifts and all that God has given us to steward. Many commentators say this is a difficult passage to interpret, but I don't think it's really difficult if you just stick to the main point. And Jesus is not commending fraud or bad management. This guy could be a South African, but Jesus is not commending that, but Jesus is commending wisdom. He's saying, how can we be wise in the situation? And he's extracting a lesson out of this that he wants us to hear. And Jesus likes what this bad manager does. And I like what he does. And we notice that God notices everything that's going on. God's the only one who can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. I love that saying. So just a few background points before we get into the passage. First of all, this manager was like a CFO. He was a chief financial officer. He was running this guy's business, this rich man's business, but he got involved in fraud. He was perhaps adding some interest, or he was adding his management fee to the thing. He was making money along the way. And it was forbidden to charge interest to fellow Jews, particularly the poor. You weren't supposed to benefit from other people's suffering and poverty. And even today, it's a good idea for us to not charge interest if we are helping each other out, and rather just to give people a gift. And it looks like this manager offered added interest, his own handling fee. And when he got fired, he quickly made a plan, because it seems like he didn't bring the books to the original meeting, to the first meeting. He came to see his boss, and his boss said, "You're fired." And so he quickly went back and to clear his desk, and he phoned all the people that owed his master money, and one by one, he cut a deal with them, one by one, and he gave them big discounts. And they were very happy, and he was being clever. And when his master found out, he couldn't complain or do anything, because he now got a good name in town because he'd reduced the bill, and he couldn't stop it. And so the master praises the manager, because although he's lost his job, he's secured his future. Amen. And so that's the first thing. Secondly, we need to see the importance of good management in the eyes of God. And that's why we've been preaching the stewardship series. It's so important in this time, because we don't always see good management, do we? We don't always see honest management today. And God is looking for that. Often Jesus would say, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager who does his job properly?" And so the manager in our story here, he's shrewd and strategic, but he's not faithful. And his master had real leadership ability. He could make decisions quickly and sum up the situation, but he was not in touch with his business. And so what we need today in life, in the society which we live in, we need both faithfulness, which are character issues, and we also need to be in touch with the areas that God has called us to. And so we need to both be faithful and in touch. And we find here that God may even withhold stuff from you if you are unfaithful. And so in this age of speed and chaos in which we're living today, it's important for us to be in touch with every area of our lives, to be in touch with the Lord, to be in touch with our families, our business, and to stay in touch, to delegate if necessary, but to be in touch. And I would just encourage you this morning, because a lot of us are in positions of management and responsibility. If you're a mom at home, you're managing your kids, you're managing a home. I would encourage us to be aware of our own stewardship and our own management, and ask the Lord to help us to manage things for His glory and to manage things well. Because we all have a style of doing things. We all have a management style, and we all have blind spots. And this guy had a blind spot. He didn't realize that his bad management was having an impact on others. And it got so bad that eventually they went and they reported him to the boss. And so we need to ask the Lord to help us, because if you're a manager or a leader, we impact the people that we work with. It's just a reality. Every leader and every manager casts a shadow in his business and the area where he's working. And we need to be aware of that, and ask the Lord to help us to grow and to do better and better in the way we manage things for His glory. Hallelujah. And sometimes people won't speak up until the situation becomes unbearable. And you need to ask people, particularly people who are working for you or with you, ask people to be honest about your leadership style. Say to them, "I promise I won't fire you, but please tell me, how am I doing? How's my leadership? How's my management?" It's very, very important. And we talk quite a bit about this on the Africa Leadership School. One of our students on the Africa Leadership School wrote this in their assignment. I think it's excellent. He said this: the biblical pattern is that we need to function in a team. We were talking about leadership. This is important because our culture celebrates the man. African culture exalts the man and his authority, and Western culture exalts the man and his accomplishment. Malcolm Gladwell, in his book Outliners, mentions an unexpected trend in the aviation industry. Airplanes flying within, listen to this, this is fantastic. aeroplanes flying with an experienced captain and a less experienced first officer are more likely to crash than when the captain is not flying the plane. Now, you would think it should be the other way around, but it doesn't work like that. It's because of PDI, which is Power Distance Index, which predicts how likely someone is to speak up and contradict an authority figure. First officers are less likely to speak up, offer contradictory counsel, and insist on their own views. So the guy's sitting there, he's seeing the plane's about to crash, but he doesn't want to say anything. And so he keeps quiet until... But if the captain's sitting in the other chair, and you say, hey, what you doing, man? Come on. And so we need to realize this functions today, and we need to be aware of it. I just throw this in as a freebie. We need to be aware of our own leadership style. I've had to do that in my own life and ask the Lord to help us. Hallelujah. And so let's move on to the passage now. So what can we learn from this passage about stewardship? And I think this is a great parable Jesus is teaching. Well, first of all, let's talk about faithfulness and faith. God is looking for faithfulness, and Masal has been emphasizing that, because the Lord is faithful to us. Hallelujah. Now, God is faithful. He's looking for faithfulness with the little. And if you're faithful with little things, God will give you more. Because God loves faithfulness, and He will reward you. So what does it mean to be faithful? It means that you can be trusted. It means that you keep your promises, that you're reliable, that you're consistent, that you're good with people and finances in particular. You're uncorruptible. Hallelujah. People can rely on you. And that's so important. Michael Eaton says, the way you use a little wealth shows what you are really like. If God can trust you with little, you'll be given more, and you'll be able to demonstrate your faithfulness in the use of more. If you're faithful with what belongs to God, and everything we have and we've received from God, then God will give you true riches that actually become your own. Hallelujah. If you live for God, you will not live for money. If you live for money, you will not live for God. And so I would encourage you this morning, be faithful where God has called you to be a steward. Be faithful over the areas God has given you management, and He will reward you. He will bless you. Hallelujah. Use everything for the glory of God. Be a good steward. Be a good steward. God, get to work on time. Work hard. Be uncorruptible. Be a good manager. Do your best. Ask God to grow you and to strengthen you in that area. But also, besides that, Jesus is actually looking for more than just faithfulness. He's looking for fruitfulness. He doesn't just want us to be faithful. He wants us to be fruitful. And Jesus said that to us in John 15. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. Hallelujah. And if you look in the parable of the talents, let's just turn there to Matthew 25. In the parable of the talents, this principle comes through so clearly in Matthew 25. Let's read that together from verse 19. Matthew 25, parable of the talents. It says, this man handed out talents and finances to his servants, and after a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5,000 bucks came forward, and he said, look, I have made 10,000 bucks. I've made another 5,000 bucks. Here's 10,000 bucks, if you like. And his master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. And then the next servant came and said, you gave me 2,000 bucks. I've made another 2,000. Here's 4,000 bucks. And the master was happy. We're meant to grow what God has given us. And then the one servant came and said, well, you only gave me 1,000 bucks, so I hid it in the ground. I was afraid. People that think they don't have much tend to feel they're not important. But they are. And the master says, come on, what's wrong? You're being wicked and you're being lazy. You should have invested my money with the bank so that I would have got a return. Hallelujah. So the whole principle in the Bible is that we need to grow and increase what we've been given for the glory of God. Hallelujah. We mustn't just sit on it. Jesus has entrusted us with stuff and opportunities to advance the kingdom of God where you are. I want to bring that through strongly as we look at, as we come to the end of the stewardship. Growing what God has given you requires faith. It requires trusting the Lord. Applying your faith as the shrewd manager did. Increasing the areas that God has given you. Reaching people. Blessing others. Living out the gospel. Using resources not just to keep improving your lifestyle, but to extend the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I was so encouraged by this team that went to Madagascar. I mean, the church gave something towards it, but these guys financed their own trip. It was just wonderful. The way they just stepped up and God blessed them. Hallelujah. And so friends, we need to use what God has given us and not just use it, but grow it. And look for every single opportunity to grow what God has given you. That's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. Grow what he's given you. Use what he's given you. I was sitting on the plane on Thursday night coming home. I was exhausted. It takes like 24 hours just to come home. And as I sat on the plane, the guy behind me was from Phoenix in Durban. And he was witnessing to the guy next to you on the plane. He was wandering away. You were on the plane for an hour. And I listened to him and he was trying everything to get the gospel in. And I started praying for him. And I thought, this is fantastic. This guy's making use of every opportunity to share the gospel. He's being a good steward and a good witness. Hallelujah. And so we need to apply our faith to grow what God has given us. Hallelujah. Not just individually, but corporately as a church. We need to ask, what has the Lord called us as a church to steward? And how can we grow that for His glory? So it involves your faith. Are you still with me? I'll say yes. Thank you. But it also involves not just your faith, but God's faith for you. God is believing for you. And He believes in you, if I can put it that way. Which is why He's entrusted you with stuff. Why He's given you stuff. God is the rich man. And we are all His managers, scattered and put to work across His kingdom. And He expects stuff from us because He believes in us. You don't invest in people you don't trust. And He's given us stuff. And He believes in us. And He's given us opportunities and resources and our health and connections and gifts and talents and our education and our friends and even our background. And He's put His Spirit within us to empower us. God has invested in us. It says in Philippians chapter 2 verse 12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling because God is at work within you. Hallelujah. And it's really a partnership with the Lord. Without God, I can't. But without me, He won't. God wants to partner with us. And our efforts become His instrumentality. The little things you do, He'll blow on it. He'll take the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and He'll multiply. He often says, what's in your hand? Give that to me, I'll multiply. This principle of multiplication. The kingdom is not static. The kingdom is not just concerned with what He's given you. It's advancing. It's growing. It's increasing. It's multiplying. And God expects it. And He's believing for you. And He's believing in you. We're not just meant to be consumers. Just receiving and receiving. We're meant to also be stepping out, as many of us are doing already. It says in Acts chapter 1, Luke writes, the Dr. Luke, he writes and he says, I want to tell you about all that Jesus began to do and teach. And Jesus begun the work, and Jesus died on the cross, and Jesus made a way. But friends, we need to complete what He started. We need to complete what He started. We've all been given a measure of faith and opportunities, and we need to use it for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And Paul says, I live by the faith of Christ. My little faith is anchored to His great faith. Hallelujah. And we don't often see it that way, but Jesus' faith must be seen as substitutionary faith. Our sins are covered by Jesus' blood. Our failures are covered by Jesus' perfect obedience. And my weak faith is covered by His strong faith. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't just die for us. He believes for us. He said to Simon, 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 I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. In 1 Timothy 1, it talks about the stewardship that is by faith. Friends, Jesus believes in us. He believes in me because he's invested in us. It's not just your faith. It's his faith in you to get the job done. And it's wonderful and it's glorious. And it involves faithfulness, but it also involves faith. And faith is spelt R-I-S-K. Hallelujah. Now, number two, let's also talk about the future. What changed for this manager? What changed in his life? He wasn't just informed, he was impacted. It was when he fixed his focus on the future, not just on the present. When he realized he wasn't going to have a job anymore, maybe after 24 hours he'll be on the street. Suddenly he looked ahead to his future. And when he realized his future was in danger, he sprang into action. He was corrupt, but he knew how to secure future blessing, and he got moving quickly. And Jesus uses this parable to give us a wake-up call as the church. Hallelujah. And he says that to us in verse 8. He says to us, come on. He says, we need to be clever as the people in the world are. He says, verse 8, he says, the sons of this world are more clever or shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. Jesus said this. And so what he's saying to us is people out there are sometimes more clever. We mustn't be fraudulent or corrupt, but we must be clever. He says they're sharper in the way they use resources and opportunities and earthly friends for making personal gain and using opportunities to further themselves. They look further ahead than we do. They take risks. They travel. They invest in things. They make a plan. You get on any plane anywhere in Africa, you'll find South Africans on that plane doing business all over Africa. They've got on the back of this and they're moving and they're traveling and they're doing stuff all over the place. Hallelujah. And that's what this manager did. He could choose his future job because of his manipulation of earthly resources. And we need this perspective concerning our stewardship. We need to get moving. We need to just get wise in advancing God's kingdom that will never fail. Hallelujah. Rather than an earthly kingdom that will fail. So I ask you this morning, let God use you. Let God show you what he's given you. Let God get you moving. May God give you fresh purpose. What are you living for? What has God put in your hands? Because one day we will have to give an account of our stewardship. We have to live in the light of eternity. And we need this. Our vision must be prophetic, not just nostalgic. We must look at the future, not just look at the present. We mustn't just have a survivalist mentality. And I know it's tough in South Africa sometimes, but it's not just about what's happening here and now. It's about the future. And that brings me to my third point. Let's talk about friends. This manager used his influence and cash to make friends here. And if we are clever, we will make friends for ourselves in heaven. Hallelujah. Good stewardship will impact things there and here. People will gather one day at heaven's gates to welcome you. Those that you have led to Christ. Edith, your work in Malaysia, those you have helped financially, those you have encouraged. Jesus is saying to us, I want you to use your resources and your finances in such a way that they become a friend to you, not a witness against you in another world. And that's what he's saying. And in the rest of Matthew 25, Jesus is commending. Let's just read that together after the parable of the talents. I felt so stirred by this. It woke me up again. In Matthew 25 verse 31, it says this. And when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he'll sit on his glorious throne. And before him will be gathered all the nations, and he'll separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he'll place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, it's not just the Savior, it's the king. You'll see Jesus in his kingly glory. And the king will say, come, you are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we do that? And he said, truly, when you did it for the least of my brothers, you did it for me. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. Our reward is not heaven. If you're saved, I'll see you all in heaven. Our reward is treasure in heaven, but that treasure is people. It's people. It's the Lord, yes, but it's people. It's relational currency. It says if the rich help the poor in this life, the poor will help the rich in the life to come. Hallelujah. And so we want to have that kind of impact that goes beyond the grave. What will people say about you at your funeral? You need to use your money. You need to use your influence to make friends that survive beyond death. What did this manager realize? Listen to this. He realized it's more important to have friends than money in the bank when you are in trouble. Because he knew he would have lots of places he could go and find a job. And lots of places, because he had lots of friends now in town. Hallelujah. And if you carry on reading, it comes to the rich man and Lazarus. When the rich man got to heaven because he ignored Lazarus, he had no one to welcome him into heaven's gates. There was no one there. And friends, heaven has to be more than golden streets and glorious angels. That doesn't interest me much. It's the Lord and its people. And you will find heaven is really a world of friends. It's a community of love with the Lord in the very center of it. And when you get to heaven, you'll be amazed. And people come up to you and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I went to Khayelitsha 2 years ago. They had their 20th anniversary and I was invited down as a speaker. And I went down to preach. And when I got there, I started preaching. And people started coming up to me and thanking me. They said, we got saved in this church. And I was a young girl. And you helped me and you prayed for me. And I'd forgotten all this stuff. And I felt like crying. I just thought, I've forgotten all this stuff. I don't remember all this stuff. And people were just coming up to me, thanking me and commending me. Just little things I'd done. They remembered. Because I'd used my talents and I'd used a bit of my gifting to help people. And people remembered and people were blessed and people were impacted. Hallelujah. Now many of them were women, because women tend to remember things more than men do. You know my theory about women. Women were created after men, so they're an upgrade. And women have got a better memory chip. We've got an A12 or something. They've got like an A60. And women remember everything. They even remember when you give them the same anniversary card for 2 years running. They remember stuff like it's incredible. And these guys remembered stuff. And they came to me and they thanked me. And it just encouraged me so much. And so friends, as I conclude, we've been called to be stewards of the stuff that God has given us and the talents that God has given us. And we need to be radically generous with stuff that doesn't belong to us, really. Use your money here to make friends that survive beyond death. Move it forward in the kingdom of God. Have a future perspective. Jesus was the best steward ever. He gave his life to turn his enemies into his friends. Hallelujah. And we need to do the same. Ask yourself, as I come to a close, how can I love others? How can I use money wisely? How can I give money away radically? Don't disconnect the material and the spiritual. Use all things for the kingdom of God. Be a smart steward. Think it through. And step out. I'll just close with a few questions. Ask yourself, who can I reach for Christ? Write down their names and go after them. Help us build this church. Help us bring people to Christ. In this room, there are hundreds of contacts we have. And we need to steward those contacts for the glory of God. I want to encourage you to do that. Be a good steward of the gospel and reach the friends, the family, the people God has given you. Secondly, we need to ask ourselves, how can we mobilize more finances for the gospel, for global mission? And I'm talking about real money, not just our church budget. It's not big enough. But how can we mobilize 500,000 rand? How can we mobilize hundreds of thousands of rand for the gospel? We need it. Flying in Africa is more expensive. It's cheaper to fly to England than it is to fly to Madagascar. We need bucks to reach out with the gospel. Won't you pray into that? How can I continue to exercise faith, knowing that God believes for me and He believes in me as well? Not just my faith, but His faith. Hallelujah. And finally, how can I be a blessing to others and bless others in an age of discontent? How can I just be a blessing to others? How can I just be a good steward? Everywhere I go, I'm just blessing others. I'm impacting others. I'm making friends. I'm using my resources. I'm sharing the gospel. I'm growing what God has given me. I'm developing it for the glory of God. When Jesus returns, says, I gave you 2,000 bucks. Say, Lord, here's 200,000 back. I've invested it. I've invested what you've given me. I've grown what we've given me. Hallelujah. As a church, what has God given us here in this place? I can share a few things, but we need to ask God to multiply it for His glory. Hallelujah. We are uniquely positioned as a multicultural. We can reach anyone. Anyone. We've got French speakers in this church. Bonjour. We've got Afrikaans speakers in this church. Goeiemôre, mense. We've got Zulu speakers. We've even got Zulu speakers. Sanbonani. Sanbonani nonke. We've even got Tswana speakers in this church. We've got so many different cultures that God can use to spread His word. So I want to take the lid off this morning and just open our understanding. And it's not about just what happens from this pulpit. It's about all of us together rising up. Jesus basically saying, guys, wake up. The people out there are cleverer in the way they operate than we are. Let's get smart. Let's get moving. Let's use what God's given us. Let's advance His kingdom. Let's see what we can do. Who knows what we can do? Let's go for it. Can you say amen? Let's be good stewards of all He has given us. Hallelujah. Amen. And so as I come to a close, maybe you don't even know Jesus this morning. I'd love to pray for you afterwards. Come up afterwards. I'd love to pray for you. Lead you to Christ as you turn away from your sins and embrace Jesus. But for the rest of us, God has given you something. God has given you a sphere. It may not be much, but it's something He's given you. He's given you gifts. He's given you opportunities. He's given you contacts. He's given you resources. You just have to go to Madagascar and realize how rich we are in this country. People at this conference, the whole 5-6 days, same shirt, same pants, same shoes. That's all they had. Let's use it for the glory of God. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. So let's stand together. And I'd like you just to visit us, be with us. Just turn to the person next to you. And just thank God for the person next to you. And just bless them. I'll help you next week to know how to bless people more. And just pray that God uses them for the glory of God. That God expands what He has given you. Hallelujah. Can we do that? Let's stand together and just pray with one another.